week. I know even last week we talked a little bit about Joseph. A little bit about Joseph in the Bible in Genesis. And I want to continue on that vein just to share some things about Joseph and the things that can relate to us today that hung on. And here we see, my name's Joseph, but here we see Joseph in the Bible where God was working in his heart and in his life. Can you imagine? You know, it talks about the tribes of Israel, and that's where Joseph come from. All his brothers, basically, were all the 12 tribes of Israel. He had only one sister called, I think, Dinah. That was her name. That was all. But all the other ones, you know, were his brothers, you know, from his mother, you know, Leah, Rachel, and then their handmaidens and stuff. And they had 12 boys all together. And that's where the 12 tribes of Israel come from. But you see, Joseph, God was working in his heart and life, people. And look, let me tell you, you know, sometimes we think, well, certain people have it all together. Let me tell you this. Everybody's a mess. Every last person upon the earth is a mess. It is, it's true. Because you know why? It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. Everyone's a mess. It's only God that can take scrambled eggs and make them right. You know, he's the only one. But we trust in him that can do it. He can take somebody that's down and out down the road and make them into something. He's the only one. He's the only one that can take that, if you want to say parchment paper that's on that wall of that city. He's the only one, the King of Kings, that can walk through and look at it and get up and turn it around and write paid in full. See, he's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. He's the only one that can bring us liberty and freedom. He's the only one that can give us life. And the devil has tried to tell us, as the church, we need to look to the world for things. No, 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 no. The only one we need to look to is Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Because that paid for everything. Everything. That brings liberty and freedom. It's the cross that can break alcoholism. It's the cross that can break all sins of evil upon this earth. It's him and him only. You might say, well, what do I have to do? We have to do what the Bible says. Put our faith in the cross of Calvary. That's all. You might say, well, if I do that, what do? That's what you do. Victory comes because victory was won at the cross. Jesus won victory at the cross of Calvary. That's what we trust in. Our faith is in what he did. And we believe what he did. And we stand in that truth and in that victory. That truth and victory. Okay. Here we see. Oh. Verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Now, 17 years of age. If God can use a 17-year-old boy, God can use anyone. We should never think, well, I'm too young, God can't use me. Or I'm too old, God can't use me. Or I'm too this, or I'm too that, God can't. Let me tell you, there's always a place in the kingdom of God for each and every one of us. You know it's God when he puts things together because he'll make everything work out right. That's God. And he includes everybody. Man makes sure that there are certain people that are eliminated from certain things. That's how you know if it's God or not, when things are put together. If man puts things together, certain people are left out. Maybe the short people, the tall people, fat people, slim people, whatever color people, whatever, all that stuff. But in God, God makes sure that everyone is included no matter what. That's him. 17 years of age, that means God can use you. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know my past. Well, let me tell you, I don't know your past, and I don't want to know your past. That's not for me to know. God knows, and if you've gone to him and asked forgiveness, and he's coming and cleansed your heart and made you a new man or a new woman, praise God. What you do is you glorify your God that he's done another miracle, another miracle. Because let me tell you something. Somebody getting saved in the kingdom of God, that is the greatest miracle that could ever happen. Now, hey, look, I believe in miracles of all kinds. Whatever. Believe God can heal people if he wants. That's up to him. I believe it. God can fill people with the Holy Spirit. He can do it. It's still for today. God can do all things, it says in the Word of God. So we believe that God can do it. He can do it and wants to do it. 17 years of age. Don't ever put a limit on God. Don't ever limit yourself with God. 17 years old, was feeding flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Belial and Zilpah. Now those were the two handmaidens of Rachel and Leah. Okay, they had handmaidens. Remember this. Back then, God allowed something. Not that he wanted it. But because sometimes the hardening of man's heart, he would allow certain things. You're only supposed to be married to one person. That's all. And if you're a man, you marry a woman. If you're a woman, you marry a man. Now, I'm not trying to be, harsh anything. But you know, the Word of God does not change, people. What he said was right, it's right. And what he said was wrong, it's wrong. And we cannot accept what the world says is right or wrong unless it's according to the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean we go and hate on people. No. We love them into the kingdom. We tell them the truth because we love them. But we don't hate on them and bring evil upon them. There was a lad in the mansion and his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, you might say, well, what kind of evil report is he talking about? Well, you know, remember this, they were feeding flock. Here Joseph is with the sons of Zilpah and Bilhah. That's how you want to say it, however you want to say it. You know, that's like the old, you know, names of old, your elderly grandmother, how hard it was, you know, to say these names. Well, here he was feeding the flock, one of the flocks. Because we don't know where Leah's sons were. Because these were the servants of Leah and the servant of his mother. And so here they were feeding the flocks. And so obviously his father, Jacob, was a really wealthy man. They had at least two herds of flocks. Because we know he was with one. And Leah and their sons, They were with another one somewhere. And they might have had more than that. So he was a very wealthy man. God had blessed him. But here he runs. He's with his brothers. And he says, look, he runs to his father and he says to bring him an evil report. From other manuscripts, if you want to say it that way, you might say, what kind of evil report did he bring? We see Joseph was basically the only one that was serving God out of all his brothers. And I'll just put it forth this way. That's why God chose him. Now you might say, well, aren't they the 12 tribes of Israel? Yes. You can be of the covenant, but not in the covenant. The 12 tribes of Israel that came from them. But they were not serving God, Jehovah God, with all their hearts. And from other writings of that day. I never put it above the Word of God. Other writings, if you want to put it that way. There was a tendency for them, because of the land that they were in and the people that were around about them, that they were into, it was called Canaanite religion, if you want to put it that way. They were serving in the, or taking on some of their religious aspects of that day. And that was not good because they were idol worshipers. At some point, these people would burn their own children. See how diverted you can get when you don't stay on the with God? They believed, and I'll say these words, and I won't get in, bestiality, sodomy, all those things, okay? Which we know what they are. I don't have to explain that, okay? You know it's not right. And so the brothers were going into that, and the world was bringing them back in. And we got to be careful that we don't get wooed back into the things of the world. We got to be careful. The Bible says to guard our hearts. To guard our hearts. That's why we got to put our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And in doing that, as we tell him and as we do that, he, in effect, leashes out the Holy Spirit to come and help us in doing what he wants us to do. See, we got to make sure that we don't let the things of the world or even the thinking of the world to creep into our hearts and to get a hold of us. Now, that doesn't mean that we go and we move away from everybody and we solitude. That's not correct. We got to live with people to be able to share the gospel with people, to be able to share the love of our Lord and Savior and what Jesus has done for them. We are the light of the world, it says. Christians are the light of the world. Born again Christians are the light of the world. And if that light goes, well, what light is there to tell people about our Savior? So here he goes to his father and he tells him, look what they're doing. Now, you know, that grips a father's heart when his children or and a mother, when their children are not doing what's right. You know, it's been probably about a month, maybe 5 weeks ago. You know, as you do a route every day, you get to know the people. And I'm talking about a mail route. That's who I work for. That's my second job. My first job is this. And as you know, you get to know the elderly. You get to know what they like, what they, you know, and you do certain things to help them. And there's one elder lady, I remember she walked out and I give her mail and we do. And I said, ma'am, I said, I hope you have a great Christmas and a great. And she said, I hope so. She said, and she started talking. You know, her husband passed away a while back and it's been years. And I said, well, how many children do you have? And she said, well, I have, you know, two boys. And I said, oh, she said, you know, one's good and one's on drugs. I said, oh. And she said, you know, I haven't seen him in about nine years it's been since she's seen him. And I could tell the agony in her face. The pain in her eyes of knowing that she doesn't know where her son is. And I know the devil is just putting things in her mind that's probably not true, that he's dead somewhere, that he's, you know, something's happened to him horribly. And so, you know, I just tried to share with her. I said, you know, I can't take that long, but, you know, you can kind of put in, you know, that she needs to trust the Lord, that God could bring him back, that God could bring him back, that God could bring him back, that God could do it, that God can deliver him, that God can work in his heart and life. That his only hope is God, is Jesus, and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. see the pain in her eyes and the pain in her heart and soul for her children or that son. And so you see, we need to remember our only hope is our God, our Savior. Our God and our Savior. And I know the pain in Jacob's heart as Joseph came. Because you see, Jacob didn't know what was going on out there. Joseph knew because he was right next to them and what they were doing. And so he comes back with that evil report. Not a good sign. So you see, you want to know why they could sell their brother? Because they hated him. They hated him. And that's another story down the book, down the road. But a hatred that was in their heart. It just wasn't, oh, well, he's coming, let's sell him. It was because they hated who he was. Because he stood for God and the righteous things of God. And let me tell you, you know, certain people may hate you for what you stand for. But they don't realize how blessed they are because you stand up for righteousness. Not that you're better, not that we are better than anybody, but we put our faith in Christ and what he did. He's our Savior and Lord. He lives in our heart and life. And because of that, we are able to bring hope to a lost and dying world. Hope to a lost and dying world. And here we see in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now, let's stop right there. It's an amazing thing. You can go back in Genesis. You can go and look. You remember when God changed Jacob's name to Israel? Okay, that scenario. I mean, that's amazing. God changed his name from deceiver, you know. And it's amazing right here that God chose by the Holy Spirit to not say Jacob. And we would have known who it was if he would have put Jacob. But he says Israel. You know why? Because of the promise. Because this was God, the Holy Spirit, moving upon this situation. And God had called him Israel. God changed his name to Israel. So God addresses the problem as Israel and not Jacob. God transformed his life. And in transforming his life, chance transformed his name and addressed him according to the transformation. That's what God does in our hearts and lives. He transforms us. He not just a little bit, but transforms us. Takes everything out that needs to be taken out and puts his son. Can you imagine? People, look. We don't realize how blessed we are in the new covenant with our God. You know, back in these days, you know about Jacob, Abraham, you know, Isaac and all these men, Noah and all that. They didn't have, God didn't live on the inside of them, not in here. He would come over them and they recognized him and loved him. But it wasn't like what we have today where we come. And you might say, well, what's the difference? Jesus is the difference. He is the start of the new covenant. His blood transformed us. The blood that we trust in, that transformed us into the new covenant. And now during the new covenant, we can go to him and be born again, accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Praise be unto our, that God lives in me. And God lives in you. That he's just not on the outside, which is, we need him on the outside. To protect us, to help us, to guide us, all that stuff. But the God of the universe, because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, can come and live on the inside of us. And probably each and every one of us can tell of miracles, things that God has done for us, how he's protected us, how he's led us, how he has guided us. because of the God on the inside, the Holy Spirit, speaking things to us through His Word, or through just through songs, through books, through whatever avenue He wants, or just to speak to us. You know? That He moves inside of us. That's why when we do something wrong, it cringes on the inside, and we know it. And we know it. Is the Holy Spirit, thank God, He does that. It's the Holy Spirit that is grieved on the inside. It's like this is our hearts. And God is moving. And all of a sudden we may do something and we know it's not right. Okay, I don't have to name things. We know it's not right. We know it, huh? That's right. Amen. Yeah. And this, the Holy Spirit starts to squeeze, if you would, on the inside of us. And we go, oh no. Even before we finish doing the act of whatever it may be, we know we've done wrong. We know we put our foot in our mouth. We said something we shouldn't have said. We did something that we shouldn't have done. But thank God the Holy Spirit does that. But there's an avenue in a way. And we go to our Father through the blood of Jesus. And we ask Him to forgive us. And all of a sudden, this is what happens. Freedom again. Just like that. Instantly, we have access to the Father. Can you imagine? Back in the Old Testament, my God, once a year the priest had to go and they had to do all kinds, and I can name it all. The priest had to go and do all kinds in the Old Testament, and then finally, you know, once he'd go and all that would do, the blood of animals would cover it. Would cover. But when we go to Jesus, He doesn't cover it. It's wiped clean. And it's like we've never done it before. That's why when we go to God and we might say, you know, Father, remember when I, and we talk about whatever it was, and He can't answer us because He remembers it no more. It says that in Scripture that when we ask for forgiveness, it's as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. No more. And I know that's hard for us because our minds compute. It's constantly going. And man, have you ever been somewheres and you walk into a store or you walk and you smell something? And it goes back all the way to your grandmother's house or your grandfather's house or your old aunt. Just something. And it's like you hadn't thought of that in years. My God. But you remember that mind is just. But you ask us what happened yesterday, and we try. Okay, let's see. I don't know what I did yesterday. But our minds is very. It's a computer up there almost, basically. God has networked it very concisely and given us that. But you see, the Father remembers it no more. No more at all. In verse 3, is that verse 3? Yeah, that's it? Okay, now Israel, yeah, okay. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now I know you're probably thinking, well, his father is the cause of his brothers hating him. Not necessarily so. That is not really truth. Joseph, his father did love him. And his love came down because Joseph was the one that was serving God and he loved him. There was a love there. There was a love. His love expressed here had to do with the Lord laying his hand on Joseph while Jacob's other sons had rejected the Lord. Jacob loved all his sons, his love for Joseph had to do with the will of God. And here we see that he made him a coat of many colors. Now, a coat, back then, that was the thing, that's things that were done in that vein or that area of life. Usually, the priest of that home would go, it would be usually the eldest son, wherever it was. And that was Reuben. That was Reuben. But God had chose Joseph instead of Reuben. And so here we see the scenario where Jacob had the coat made, or I don't think he made it, but had the coat made, however. You know, we don't know for sure if it was patches or if it was stripes or whatever. It's just, it had many colors with it. We don't know for sure. Some can speculate, and that's okay. All it is a speculation. That's all it is. But we know it was a coat of some kind that had many colors in it. You can say red, blue, green, purple, all the primary colors and all that stuff, all that in it. But it had many colors in it. And that was given to the one that would be the priest of that home, that area. And Joseph was chosen. His father gave it to him. Now, he was chosen by God. So you see, that's why his brothers did not like him. And in actuality, they hated him because God had chosen him instead of Reuben. And because they were doing such evil and practicing other religious things instead of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, their hearts turned from God. And so here Joseph represented God. Not that he was God. No. But he represented God. And so when his brothers would look at this guy, Joseph, and they knew he possessed wisdom beyond his years because he was anointed by the Spirit of God. It says that beyond his years, he had wisdom beyond his years. The anointing of God was on him. He got whatever scriptures at that time they had, whatever was written, he studied it. And so God gave him wisdom beyond his years, 17 years of age, and had more wisdom than his eldest brother. You see, you look in the book of Proverbs and Psalms, and it talks about being at the pearl of great price. And I mean, just searching the scripture, how it makes one wise beyond years. Wise. That's why he says to read it. Read Proverbs. Read it. But they have 31 chapters in Proverbs. Is that right? 31? Come on. We should know. Look, I think it's 31. That means you can read one every day, except in February and a few other months. But you get that scripture in you because it brings wisdom beyond your years. It makes you avoid sin and it makes you pursue righteousness. Because the enemy's out there trying to deceive you, you and I. Trying to make us look to other things besides him. Trying to appease the evil person on the inside. Or the sin nature, if you want to put it that way, on the inside of us. And not the God nature that God has put in us. And so we have to pursue God with everything within us, people. Yes, Joseph was chosen by God. And let me tell you, God chose him. But let me tell you also this, God has chosen you. You can be 17, you can be 5. Or you could be 100. God still has a plan for you. And you might think, well, you know, and let me tell you, I know this, the devil will tell you, or even ourselves, we'll start thinking that, oh, well, we're too old, we can't do this. Well, God can't use me anymore. Or I'm too young, or I'm not educated enough, you know, or I can't read well, or I can't do this. Let me tell you, everybody can offer excuses. Just like Moses offered an excuse. I can't speak well. Well, then the God that made the mouth and the tongue can heal your mouth and tongue, can't he? And it was Moses that said, well, let my brother come and be with me, Aaron. Let him. And God said, okay, you have what you want. Let me tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. God gave Joseph that coat. And he did all kind of other stuff, and we'll talk about that next week. Other things, dreams, my God, all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, God wants to use you. God cares about you. You might say, well, Pastor, I've gone too far. No. You've never gone too far till you lay your head down and you close your eyes and you wake up somewheres, if you want to put it that way. Okay? Heaven or another place, hell. And we don't want anybody going there. So as you have breath in your body and you can still function, God still could use you. God still could use you. God still could use you. Doesn't matter. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Let me tell you one last story just to make you believe that God could use you. Anybody knows who Rahab is in the Bible? What's that? Rahab the harlot. Remember when God brought the spies in to check out the city? And she took them in? What's a harlot? Okay, I don't have to explain that, huh? Okay. She was a harlot, people. Look what God can do. And God took her, saved her family, and look, grafted her in to the lineage of our Savior. My God. You should have shouted. My God. He grafted her in to the lineage of our Lord and our Savior. My God. There's nothing impossible that God can't do. And no one has gone too far that you've been put away. No. All he's looking for is a heart after him. A heart after him, people. A heart after him. Come on now. We need to get excited about the things of God. All he's looking for is a heart. Rahab the harlot, all she did was save these two guys. And all they said was leave the cord. The red cord. Red representing the blood of Jesus. That's a whole nother sermon there. Amen. The blood of Jesus is what separates us. My God. The blood of Jesus is what gives us life. The blood of Jesus is what separates us from hell and heaven. My God. It's the blood of Jesus that gives life to his people. It's the blood that washes us white as snow. He makes us what? Blameless before him. And what he can call us. And I know some of you have a problem singing that song, holy. Because you think, I'm not holy. Holy? We think of somebody holy like this. Because I know we all come from scenarios of. With the cap and all kind of stuff. And we think of holy. That's not holiness. What God calls holy, we should never call unclean. Never. God calls us holy. We are a holy people. Not because of us, though. We always have to remember that. It's not because of what we've done. Not because of what we do. None of our works. It's all in Jesus Christ. What he's done at Calvary's cross that makes us holy. You know what that says? We did zero. And that's hard for us to accept. We accepted him, but we did zero. He paid it all. You know, if we can make ourselves holy, why did Jesus come? If we could fast enough, why did Jesus come? And we need to fast. We don't like it. And we only do it when the Spirit of God says it, you know. But if we could read our Bibles enough to make us holy, why did Jesus come? You ever looked at it that way? If we could go to church enough, why did Jesus come? Now, all those things are Christian etiquettes that we're to have in our lives. We're to go to church. It says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. Come together to gain strength from one another. We're to pray and seek God. We're to read our Bibles to get to know our God and that the things He has done and will do in the future. We're to fast. We're to do all those things. But we don't do those things for Him to clean us up, because there's only one way. You know, the scripture says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Paul said this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My God gave Himself for us. That's the God we serve, people. That's the God we serve. Amen. Well, you may stand, please. Amen. Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Father, we come before You, Lord. As every head is bowed, you know, before God just today, I want to ask you a very important question. I know we talked about Joseph and many other things, you know. They served God with all their hearts, and God moved mightily in them. But I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you walked out the door today and you got in your vehicle and something happened to you, and just for story-wise sake, you opened your eyes and you died and you opened your eyes, would you see the pearly gates? Or would you see hell with fire and brimstone? The only passageway and the only door is Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one. If you're saying, Pastor, I don't know if heaven would be my home, please raise your hand so we can pray with you. And if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand to show? I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, people. Don't. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's all pray together, because we do have someone that lifted their hand, and we want to pray all together, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again, and You're seated on the right hand of the Father. And I ask You to come into my heart and to live in me and to guide me and to lead me. I accept You as my Lord and as my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Look, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray the Spirit of God would be upon your life this week, leading you in your work, leading you at home, and just talking with you. seek God with all your heart this week. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I appreciate you. Thank God. I thank God for you. Love you. If you are being water baptized, don't forget to stay and go get Children's Church. To stay, and we'll talk to y'all. Amen. God bless you.